It sure looked like the Chiefs had a nice time at the White House on Monday, and a couple of things were bound to happen. Travis Kelce somehow was going to steal the headlines, and he did when, after posing with President Biden with a jersey they presented, that he and Patrick Mahomes presented to the president, walked across the podium and stopped and started to talk when Mahomes grabbed him and goes, no, and pushes him aside, and they went on with the regular ceremony. I don't know if Mahomes had grabbed him if Kelce would have just kept talking, because he might have. He might have just started doing a podcast right there at the presidential podium. So that was kind of one of those things that you expected to happen. Somehow, some way, Travis Kelce was going to make news at the White House. There's no question about it. But my favorite moment, by far, many of you emailed this to me. I didn't see it on Monday. I didn't see it live as it was happening. But we will play it for you. My favorite part is Andy Reid just knowing the role of a White House ceremony. And he joins a long list of people now over the last 3 years that have botched President Biden's name and referred to him as Obama. Of course, Biden himself has referred to Kamala Harris as the president many times. It doesn't matter. There's something weird in the water at the White House that you cannot get through a speech at the podium without screwing it up. Andy Reid was clearly nervous at the White House. He just was different. He got a little emotionally charged when talking about the Hunt family as Norma Hunt passed on Sunday, and seemed sort of visibly not shaken, but emotional at that point, and started going through it. And here's the clip, because it's just too good to be true. He's thanking everyone. And then he's getting to the point where he's going to, well, you'll just hear it yourself. This is just awesome.
The Chiefs Kingdom and the city of Kansas City. And we appreciate, we thank you. It's been 100% first class, and we appreciate your hospitality. The Hunt family, we're thinking about you. Doggone, we're thinking about you. To the Veaches, we love you. To the Donovans, to our staff, the Kansas City Chiefs staff, to the coaches and to the players. What a phenomenal job we were able to put things together this past season. What a great challenge it is to present ourselves this next year. Like President Obama, like President Biden said.
I mean, not much I can add to that. He called the man President Obama, and you just got to love it. Look, I'm not on Andy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not on Andy at all. I don't think if I'd been at the White House speaking, I would have confused Obama and Biden, but it's happened to others, and Biden is clearly seen as some sort of a puppet figure that the Obamas, third term of the Obama administration that Obama basically handles and runs. We all see that. We all feel that. Andy Reid is a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. So knowing, in his heart of hearts, the Democrat Party or the Bidens or whatever is probably not on top of his list of things. He has supported plenty of conservative candidates around the area in his lifetime. The Chiefs are a very conservative organization. The Hunt family is conservative. Mark Donovan, the team, all of it, Patrick Mahomes, on down the list. I'm sure Travis Kelce, because Mahomes and Kelce are buddies. We're talking about a lot of Republicans here in the Kansas City Chiefs organization. So was it a little awkward to be at the White House? Maybe, but it's definitely something that I would do. And you just accept the honor of going to the White House with your championship team and having the photos forever and whatever. It is a little unfortunate that your Super Bowl photo is with Joe Biden, because it will not age well. We know this about the Biden administration. If you got your picture with this president or were seen at some point with this president in 10 years, 15 years, looking back on your photos, it's not going to be viewed all that well. How many Jimmy Carter photos do you see laying around? I used to see them when I, first started working in the 80s, and I would go into my boss's offices or whatever. You kind of knew they were a liberal, a news director or something like that, and they would have been at a convention or a photo op or something, get their picture with the president, and there was Carter. I don't see anybody's picture with Jimmy Carter anymore. That's just gone. There's gone. Tons with Reagan, a bunch with Clinton and Obama, but not very many out there with Jim, and Joe Biden's going to be the same way. Unfortunately for the Chiefs, their picture is with President Obama Biden. I think that's what Andy Reid was trying to say. Again, I'm not picking on Andy. He was nervous. If we talked a little bit last week about leaders that you handle and leaders that you don't. Andy Reid's not somebody they can handle. Ted Cruz is their director of media and stuff out at Arrowhead. he doesn't really handle Andy. He assists. He helps with the schedule. He organizes the schedule and the execution. But he doesn't tell him, hey, here's what you're going to say. Occasionally he'll say, this just happened in the last few hours. They may ask you this question. He'll brief him briefly before he goes out there in front of the media. But you don't handle Andy Reid. If the Chiefs did handle Andy Reid, one thing they might have said, and this is not something he hardly ever does, maybe put a few little prepared marks down on a note card and take them up there. Because he was just ad-libbing. He was going freestyle at the White House and referred to President Biden as President Obama, and God love him. I just love that. I just absolutely love that. And I thank so many of you for emailing me and sharing your thoughts with me about how that happened on the microphone at the podium with President Obama Biden at the White House on Monday. Also, it is news on Monday, or newsworthy on Monday, that the Royals are at it again with the Chiefs. They're just all in on the Chiefs. The Royals are doing anything except giving away free tickets to get you to come to the ballpark. We've seen this. June 12th is Chiefs night at Kauffman Stadium. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce will all be there. They're going to give away Chiefs colored rally towels. Yes, with a Chiefs and a Royals logo on them. I mean, maybe they're thinking you'll take these things to Arrowhead and the Royals will get a little run at Arrowhead in the fall. I don't know. It used to be the tradition in Kansas City was always that the Royals and Chiefs each thought they were bigger and better than the other. There was I won't even call it a friendly rivalry because it wasn't friendly. When Lamar Hunt and Ewing Kauffman in the 70s and into the 80s owned their teams, there was a clash. They didn't get along. They weren't really friends. They shared a parking lot, and that was about it. They didn't work together. You didn't see you didn't see any crossover events. The Royals were a much bigger deal than the Chiefs. This is when the NFL was starting to explode in the 80s. When the NFL started to explode in the 80s with the advent of they figured out coaches after 50 years that if you throw the ball downfield, you can get chunks of yards and score touchdowns. It's better than handing the ball to a fullback between the tackles. It took 50 years for coaches to figure that out, but they figured it out. And so the league was changing, and the Chiefs were scoring some points. Bill Kenny had some great years here as Chiefs quarterback, some big numbers. The Chiefs were evolving and changing, but they weren't winning. And the Royals were winning. They won a lot in the late 70s as the Chiefs were fading. The Royals became a giant deal in this town. Then, of course, won the World Series in 85. So it was really about a 15-year takeover by the Royals where they just dominated this town before Marty Schottenheimer got here. And then the Chiefs got good and it became a thing and people enjoyed going to the games. I remember as a kid, like in high school, we'd go to games at Arrowhead. I think I went to a Broncos game one time. There was 24,000 people at Arrowhead, Chiefs and Broncos. I mean, it was nothing. To go to a Chiefs game was nothing. So they had this rivalry, and the Royals were part of this. Ewing Kauffman was a prickly sort, and he was the richest guy in the city, or thought to be the richest guy in the city, and Lamar Hunt was sort of an absentee owner in Texas. And so they didn't really have a lot in common, and the Royals owned the town. Well, it's completely flipped of that now. The Chiefs clearly own this town, and it's amazing to me. The Royals, I just feel like every time they try to do something here with the Chiefs, it just reinforces that the Royals are not major league. This team is terrible. I mean, this team is absolutely terrible. I was going to save it for the sports part, but let's get the hard part of the podcast out of the way. The Royals led 4-0 last night. And Jessica said, oh, this is fun. I had it on. We were eating a salad at the island in the kitchen. And it was on. And it is, you know, even you forget their record. They come out, they score 2 runs in the first, 2 in the second. This is great. It's 4-0. Like, isn't this nice? And she even commented, isn't this nice? I'm like, yep. 40 minutes later, it's 9-4 Marlins. 40 minutes later. The Royals are 18-42. They committed 2 more errors on Monday night. This is the annual dad's trip that they take. The players get to bring their dad or their grandpa or whomever on the trip. The Royals pay for it. It's a bonding thing. I think the Royals are maybe the only team in baseball that does this. But it's been very popular through the years, and they've kept it. I don't know how they picked Miami. That doesn't seem like the spot, but whatever. I think it's time to ask, is this the worst Royals team ever? They got a shot. They're 18-42, for crying out loud. This may be the worst Royals baseball team in the history of the franchise. It's stunning. But on June 12th, they're going to have Chiefs night. They're going to hand out rally towels that are Chiefs colored with the Chiefs logo on it, apparently a Royals logo somewhere. And they're going to try, they're for the first 20,000 fans, well, they never get 20,000 unless there's some sort of promotion. So that's their promotion on June 12th. It will be the Royals and Chiefs getting together for a big event, and we'll see how many people show up for Chiefs night at Kauffman Stadium. All right, one other tasty story in politics. Well, there's more, but the really good one on Monday was Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. He appeared on The View with Sonny Hostin and Whoopi Goldberg and the others. Joy Behar was noticeably absent. Somebody said she takes Mondays off. I don't know if that's true or not, but there's more people now saying, well, where was that they scheduled him in on a day when Joy Behar wasn't there on purpose because this white woman made comments about he doesn't know what it's like to be black, essentially like Biden. We got all these white Democrats that run around and tell conservative black people what it's like to be black. This should be a real problem. There's nothing really more racist than that in our society. I would argue that the most racist thing that you see in media, the most racist comments that we hear, are from white people on the left addressing black people on the right. They completely discount them as black people. We heard Biden said it. If you don't vote for Biden, you're not really black. And we heard Joy Behar say it in her comments about Tim Scott. And essentially what they said is Tim Scott's a freak of some sort, that he either got lucky or he's exceptional because, you know, the black man in this country, we still got our thumb on that scale. We're keeping black people down. This is Joy Behar saying all this. So Tim Scott made a brilliant move, as far as I'm concerned, politically. And he said, I want to go on The View and I want to speak to them. He comes in on a day when Joy Behar isn't there. He's talking with Sonny Hostin. Whoopi Goldberg gets on up. Both of them are black. Tim Scott is black. And this is, again, this is just a total takedown. So you've probably seen a little bit of this or whatever. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Just a little clip here because it's a complete and total takedown. This is another one of those issues where the Democrats can't win on the issue. They have to convince you of a lie. They have to convince you that there is division and hatred and racism in the world in order to get you to vote for Democrats. That is all they have on this issue. That is all they have. They do not have the facts because Tim Scott could not have laid the lumber better than he did on The View.
One of the things that I think about, and one of the reasons why I'm on the show, is because of the comments that were made, frankly, on this show, that the only way for a young African-American kid to be successful in this country is to be the exception and not the rule. That is a dangerous, offensive, disgusting message to send to our young people today, that the only way to succeed is by being the exception. I will tell you that if my life is the exception, I can't imagine.
But it is.
But it's not, actually. It's been
114 years.
Yeah, so the fact of the matter is we've had an African-American president, African-American vice president. We've had two African-Americans to be secretaries of the state. In my home city, the police chief is an African-American who's now running for mayor. The head of the highway patrol for South Carolina is an African-American.
In
1975, there was about 15% unemployment in the African-American community for the first time in the history of the country. It's under 5%.
40%. Homelessness
and 50% of African-Americans, 50% of the folks in our community,
13% of the population.
You had a chance to ask the question. I know that I've watched you on the show that you like people to be deferential and respectful, so I'm going to do the same thing.
That is true.
So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that the fact of the matter is that progress in America is palpable. It can be measured in generations. I look back at the fact that my grandfather, born in 1921 in Sally, South Carolina, when he was on a sidewalk, a white person was coming, he had to step off and not make eye contact. That man believed then, with some doubt now, in the goodness of America, because he believed that having faith in God, faith in himself, and faith in what the future could hold for his kids would unleash opportunities in ways that you cannot imagine. Every kid today can look, just change the stations and see how much progress has been made in this country. ABC, NBC, CBS, ESPN, CNN, Fox News all have African-American and Hispanic hosts. So what I'm suggesting is that the yesterday's exception is today's rule. And for us to
suggest... So America has met its promise.
No, of course, the concept of America is that we are going to become a more perfect union. But in fact, the challenges that we face 50 years ago and 60 years ago should not be the same challenges that we face today. And here's a way that you measure that. When my mother was born, about 10% of African Americans got a high school degree, diploma. Today, it's over 90%.
Can't do any better than that. Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina running for president, was at one point in this interview booed, and Whoopi Goldberg stood up and she just let the audience have it. Now, if Ted Cruz was sitting there or Donald Trump was sitting there, there was no way she would have stopped him from booing. But this was a black man, and there's something bigger than politics. With Whoopi and Sonny Hostin and Tim Scott, apparently, the color of their skin is more important than anything else. They treated him with respect like we have never seen a Republican get treated on that show. Never, never treated with the respect that he got. Hostin, or Hostin, however she says her name, tried to spar with him there for a moment. You heard it. And he set the record straight on all this. They can't win this issue. We need Tim Scott in this race, and we need him to, if I had my way, Tim Scott's only message running for president right now would be what he did on The View. Go out there and get the attention of every black voter in this country of what Republicans stand for, and there is no racism in the party, and that you are welcome there, and it works. And America works, a more perfect union. I would give anything for Tim Scott to speak about race every single time he gets in front of a microphone. It would be the best thing that ever happened. The best way for conservatives to get this country back permanently is two things, in my opinion. I'm no political scientist. I'm not a professor. I'm just a dude living his life in this country, looking at things going, how do they get votes on the other side? Because they can't really win the issues very often. They don't. They just don't win the issues. They don't. There's two things. Their big lie, which they love to use with Trump, their big lie about race. We're the least racist country on earth. That is truly, unequivocally, what we are. We're the least racist country on earth. So they lie about that, and they get votes. And that those votes are slipping, by the way. The black vote is slipping. It eventually is going to wind up being 50-50. It may be 100 years, I don't know, but they can't keep this up forever. They're going to have to find something else because it is slipping every single year. Even though the kids are going through public schools and they're indoctrinated with this stuff and they're taught these things at home, it's still slipping. Because guess what happens with kids? Kids grow up and have thoughts of their own. Even when they've been taught something, they're like, wait, that isn't the world that I see. They keep telling me that I've grown up and people, you know, stare at me funny or treat me poorly because I don't experience that. And more and more and more black Americans are getting into their 20s going, wait, I didn't really experience racism or didn't feel it, don't know about it. You're telling me it's there, but, you know, I'm doing okay. So there's more and more and more that we got to win that issue over time, and that's a long game issue, clearly. The other one, I'm not going to even speak about this today because I don't like talking about the topic. If we could clear up the race issue and get an abortion law on the books, it's over. They got nothing. They got nothing. All they can do then is stand in front of the microphone and say, we want to raise your taxes and borrow more money and spend more money. That's it. That's all they got. So those are the biggies with me, and those are both long game issues. Long game issues. Not going to happen anytime soon. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Window World, the title sponsor of KKHI since day one. I've been affiliated with Window World for almost, that'd be close to 20 years now since I met John Gillette and his team at Window World. They won the J.D. Power and Associates Award again for customer satisfaction. They are simply the best for less. What you don't know about Window World is their commitment to community. They're not just in Kansas City. They're throughout the state of Missouri and Kansas into Iowa. He's got locations in Illinois. John has built a sort of a Window World empire where he's in many, many markets. Springfield. He's in a lot of places. And what he does every place he goes is he's completely connected with the community. He really is and doesn't want me talking about this much. I know he doesn't. But I got a wonderful email from him yesterday about his charity that they have every year, and they do a trivia night in August every year for an organization called Action for Autism. And Window World, with the trivia night and Action for Autism, has raised $2.4 million. They hope to raise $400,000 this year. That is awesome. We have happily made a donation to Action for Autism on behalf of the podcast and wish them the very best on their goal of $400,000 this year for their event. That's a wonderful event. Action for Autism and our friends at Window World. I just like you to know the kind of people we're talking about here, because John is top notch. Same thing with my boys out of Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Spencer and Steve are just great entrepreneurs. In their second act, they have built a knife company that's just doing great. They love American history. Every series of their knives is an homage to Americana. It's just fantastic. The Flint series is out right now with a 3-inch blade, a satin finish, titanium clip. You can find it at finchknifeco.com. It's the Flint series of Finch Knife Company pocket knives. Or you can see them at Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole or Teague Tractor. You will keep life from getting dull. It's Father's Day coming up. Ladies, this is what he wants. Get your man a Finch pocket knife for Father's Day. It's what he wants. It truly is. Online at finchknifeco.com. Back 9 Development is the official builder of KKHI. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, TJville, Kansas is a custom builder. Custom homes, commercial properties. You got it. Back9development.com. You want to see the excellent, beautiful, high-end work that he does at Back 9? Log on to back9development.com. Maybe you have some land or an idea or a thought about a piece of property, an investment opportunity. If you'd like to just get in touch with TJ and say, hey, maybe you and I match here, he'd love to have your phone call. 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161. Online at back9development.com. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is back in the news again. I'm telling you, RFK Jr.'s got one real problem, and that's his voice. I'm not going to play a clip for you of RFK Jr. because it's hard to listen to. But I listened to an entire 6-minute cut yesterday from a podcast he did with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson apparently has a podcast. RFK Jr. is his guest. There's another host on there. I don't know who it was. And they asked RFK about his dad's assassination. RFK goes into a much too long clip to play right here, and at times it's kind of hard to understand because of his voice. Again, he had an illness earlier in life that caused this. It's not weakness. There is no mental deficiency there. RFK Jr., knows what he's doing, knows what he's talking about. He's the only real Democrat running against Biden, and I think it's going to get really interesting. It's going to get really interesting because we have people like Stephen A. Smith on ESPN and ESPN Radio saying, quote, we need a new president in 2024. Stephen A. Smith said, somebody's got to say it. We need a new president. Stephen A. Smith has voted for Democrats pretty much his whole life, but he's recently appeared on Sean Hannity's radio show promoting his book, saying he's gotten to know Hannity a little bit, and it's surprising how much they have in common. Of course, they're in the same business. They've both done very well. They've made millions of dollars. They've been very exceptional at what they do, but they, I think, both think that there is an American system in place that allowed them to do this, and then they did it because they had the motivation, the smarts, and the talent, and the ability to go do what they did. So when you have that at your core and you believe in American exceptionalism, as you get older, liberalism begins to fade. And I think Stephen A. Smith maybe is there. There must be a teeny tiny little bit of Republican in Stephen A. Smith, or he wouldn't be saying we need a new president in 24. Now, maybe he wants Gavin Newsom. I don't know. I don't think Stephen A. Smith is a hard leftist. I don't. I think he's more of a centrist. Maybe he gets behind RFK. I don't know, but it's happening. This is real. I still don't think Joe Biden is going to be on my ballot. I don't. I can't predict what's going to happen. I do not believe Joe Biden is going to be on the ballot, and I pray every night when I lay my head on my pillow that Joe Biden is on my ballot. I don't want somebody else. I want Joe Biden on the ballot, or Kamala, but it wouldn't be that. It would instantly be Gavin Newsom. It would just be appointed by Obama, and that would be that. As bad as Newsom is, he could win. There's no question he could win. People don't know. There's, oh, look at this guy and his slick hair, blah. Anyway, Stephen A. Smith says we need a new president, and you know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. maybe is that guy. I don't know what's going to happen when they start voting in these primaries. Why wouldn't you? I mean, just a protest vote that Biden's too old. Why wouldn't you go in a primary and vote for RFK Jr.? Seems to me, and I know a lot of Democrats. Most of them I know are whack job on the left, hard left. like cuckoo. But I know a handful that are old school Democrats. My parents were old school Democrats. You know, that's my dad was in a union. I've said this many times before. They voted for Democrats. My mom loved John F. Kennedy. But the party left them. Moved way left. RFK maybe fills that slot. He goes on with Mike Tyson on this podcast and over the course of 6 minutes explains how his dad was not assassinated by Sirhan Sirhan. Says that Sirhan Sirhan fired 8 bullets. He fired off 2 shots. The first one hit a guy behind Robert F. Kennedy. The second one missed completely and hit the wall. That's when people jumped on him. And while going to the ground and on the ground, he fired the other 6 shots in his gun. Apparently there were 8 bullets in this gun. And he hit one guy twice. He hit plenty of other people. But the ballistics were all destroyed. The bullets were gone. All the photographs, there were thousands of photographs were taken. And those are gone. He says there's no public records of any of this stuff. But that Robert F. Kennedy was actually missed by Sirhan Sirhan. And they grabbed him to take him to the ground to cover him up and protect him. He had security around him. And one of the security agents at the hotel in Los Angeles where this occurred was a CIA operative who had just been hired 2 weeks earlier when it was announced that RFK was going to be there. They hired this guy. I forget his name. It doesn't matter. You wouldn't recognize the name. He says RFK, his dad, was shot from behind on an upward trajectory. Somebody was down to the ground or headed down and shooting upwards when they shot RFK and they killed him from behind and it couldn't have been Sirhan Sirhan. And the entire thing was covered up and he believes it was orchestrated by the CIA. He thought the CIA took his dad out. The man who was the CIA operative that RFK Jr. says murdered his dad just died a couple months ago in Panama or somewhere. He's been living out of this country for 40 years. He fled America and has lived abroad for 40 years and has never come back. It's an unbelievable story. If you love conspiracy stories, find it. It's RFK Jr. on the Mike Tyson podcast, and you can hear the whole thing. It's fantastic. YouTube pulled it down. YouTube took it down. I don't know if it's back up. It's findable out there. People retweeted it. I had it. I was watching it. It's unbelievable. And Tyson doesn't speak the whole time. It's like 6 minutes of RFK. They're just nodding their head in disbelief of what they're hearing. It's unbelievable. This guy is something, man. I love people in news or sports or whatever that say things. That's all I've ever really liked. It's just give me somebody that will say something. It's hard to get a guest to say something. That's why we don't have a lot of guests here. I can bring a lot of people on. If they don't say much, or they don't say something that is interesting, new, provocative, makes you think, that's no fun. That's no fun. So this is incredible. And RFK Jr. just keeps making headlines everywhere he goes. And he's talking about CIA. He already said the CIA killed John Kennedy. Then they went after Robert Kennedy. Well, it's changed now. What he's inferring is at that point in time, the Republicans controlled the whole apparatus, that they controlled the FBI, the CIA, and all that. Now we know the Democrats control all that. It is flipped. It has changed parties. It is a fascinating interview. The comments on the CIA killing his dad. Simply amazing. Hey, we're proud to be affiliated with Joslyn's Jewelry. I've been with Gary Joslyn since the 90s. Yeah, he was one of our first sponsors in radio since the 90s. Gary Joslyn and his team at Joslyn's Jewelry have sort of entrusted me to spread their message of family, faith, togetherness, a wonderful setup where there's non-commissioned sales reps, no pressure ever, just great quality jewelry at low prices with incredible service. 95th and Antioch, everybody that goes there says the same thing. What an experience. Thank you so much, Kevin. They're online at joslinsjewelry.com, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Everybody's seeing critters. Everybody's seeing critters right now. We got the warmer weather. We got the rain. The bugs come out of the mulch. You see things on the outside of your house. If something's creeping in, give Advantage a call. If you got something on the outside you don't like, give Advantage a call. If you've got hornet's nests or something that are too high for you to reach with the spray, they'll come take care of anything. You get a critter in your attic, they're on it. AdvantageTPC.com. Today is a great day to switch. These guys are the best. Aaron and his team are incredible. It's a family business. Everything is about service. 913-768-8989. Call them up. Tell them Kevin asked you to switch to Advantage Termite and Pest Control. And Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. I got an email from a listener today. This morning he says he is in the market maybe for a GMC Sierra. No better place than Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs. I believe he said he lived in Holt, Missouri. They'll deliver it right to you. They'll bring it right to you. You can order it exactly like you like, or if they have the one at the dealership you like, or if they make a trade for it from another dealership, they'll still bring it right to you. They'll send the sales rep there and everything. He'll do the entire walkthrough and show you everything about the vehicle. You don't have to go to Excelsior Springs to do business with a great conservative company, excellent people, and save money. It's also the home of the lifetime warranty. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, in Excelsior Springs. Oh, they have low interest rates, by the way. 0.9 for my guy in Holt, Missouri. 0.9% on some GMC Sierras. Might want to give him a call. 1.9% on brand new Chevy Silverados. And no payments for 90 days and 1.9% on Blazer, Equinox, and Trailblazer. With Chevrolet, find new roads. Those really are awesome guys there. Appreciate this tip from Tony's Kansas City. You know, I talk about that website a lot. It's a go-to site for me. I'm there all the time. Tony'sKansasCity.com is a wonderful site if you like to keep up with what's going on in Kansas City. And it's not just Kansas City, Missouri. Like something goofy happens in Lee's Summit or Parkville or Overland Park, it's on there too. Tony does a great job. He has a little blurb up today about Chris DeGaulle, my friend over on KCMO Talk Radio 710. And Chris DeGaulle is a devout Christian now. He is and has been sober for a number of years. He has lost weight. He's just generally healthier. But he is, I mean, he's Christian now. He's openly and devoutly Christian. And he tweeted this. Tony's Kansas City has reprinted it because I didn't see it on his tweet. Chris DeGaulle tweeted, "I'm commanded to pray for our leaders, and I do. But don't ask me to pity them. I do not feel sorry for Joe Biden. I will never feel sorry for Joe Biden. I don't wish him harm, but I have not a tiny shred of sympathy for his destructive presidency. He can fall, trip, have surgeries, cough, catch COVID, and none of it negates his destruction." Wow. So some people are being critical of this, saying that that's not a very Christian attitude. And I think just the opposite. I do. I think you don't wish harm on somebody that's doing harm, which is the way DeGaulle views him. What he's saying is this man is harmful. This man does not deserve sympathy or pity. This is organized. It's outrageous. It's wrong what's going on. And as a Christian, I don't wish him harm, but I will not pity this man, and I will not feel sorry for him because of the destruction that he's part of, that's part of his doing, whether people are controlling him completely or what. I applaud Chris DeGaulle. Chris DeGaulle's a big thinker. He's a smart guy. He's a talented broadcaster, and I'm proud to call him a friend. And I support what he said there. Some people thought it was outrageous. I support that. I support that completely. All right, on to some more sports. Bill Self appeared at a charity golf tournament on Monday in Topeka. It was a KU club thing or something. It's a memorial tournament. It's a nice fundraiser. Everybody goes there. Goff, the AD, was there. Leipold, the football coach. Self, the basketball coach. They all show up. Bill Self did not play golf. He went back to Lawrence. He explained to the group because he's got his camp going on and he needs to be there. A lot of people were wondering, what if he didn't play because of his health or whatever? That was not the issue. He looks phenomenal. You can't even put into words how much differently he looks than he did before. He looks great. I can't guess how many pounds. I'd throw a dart and maybe say 30, 25 or 30. He's not skinny, but he's not big. He looks great. And he just looks, I don't know, like his color, just the whole look, everything about him looks better. So he gets up to speak in front of the group, and he says, "I can't believe how many people have come up." This is a direct quote. quote, I can't believe how many people have come up to me and said, you look so much better. I just figure that's a nice way of them saying you look like shit before. And the whole place just erupted in laughter. The guy knows his room. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. It is. And hey, has he changed his lifestyle? Almost certainly. When things like this happen, you have an aortic valve replacement, you're going to change your lifestyle. You're going to think about your mortality. You're going to own up to that every single day the rest of the way. So yes, I'm sure he's changed his lifestyle. But my God, just getting the medical part right, imagine what that's doing for him. He had an aortic valve replacement about a year ago, and it didn't work, or it didn't take, or it didn't something, because he just got worse, and he was sweaty and clammy and looked bad, and down he went in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament, and he didn't come back. He was in the hospital for several days. We're to assume that they've gotten it right now, whatever that is, that they've got it right, because he looks great. And how could you not be happy for him? You know, we see these guys. He's won multiple national championships. He's made tens of millions of dollars. He's just a Hall of Famer in every sense of the word. A great coach. He frequently has the best players, but even when he doesn't, he outcoaches the guys he coaches against. Kind of like we're seeing with the Miami Heat. You know, Miami doesn't have the players in the NBA Finals. That coach is something else, man. That Miami Heat coach is really good. He's got an 8 seed rolling through the playoffs in the finals, tied 1-1 and going home, which is just amazing. But Bill Self is just that guy. With all that stuff that he has, don't you actually see a story like this and feel better for him about the health than anything else? That, hey, they got it, that it wasn't a widowmaker, that he didn't go down and never get revived, that he looks better, feels better, that all these things are happening. I mean, isn't that truly what life is all about? I'm happy for the man. I'm genuinely, genuinely happy for the man. Listen, if I had an aortic valve replacement, I got 100 things in my life I'd change. Not one or two. It's about 100. Truly. But we take our bodies for granted. Men do this a lot. Knock on wood. I've just been very blessed to be very healthy my whole life. And I take it for granted. You know, I walk, I cut my own grass, I do some of those things, but come on. I could do a lot more exercise. I could eat a lot fewer Cheez-Its. Oh, Cheez-Its will be our final today. Wait for that one coming up. Drink a little less beer. All of these things I could do. But I haven't had any kind of a warning shot. Something that, you know, comes across and says, here it is. Also, at the same speech, he talked about his team, and he's only got 10 scholarship players. They lost an incoming freshman last week. And he said, we got 10 guys. We got 10 good guys. He said, we won't be the most athletic team, but I don't think he cares. I will not be surprised if Hunter Dickinson is the national player of the year at Kansas this year. 7'1", 22 years old. Self called him on Monday, quote, the most ready player we've ever recruited, unquote. Yep, that's true. He made a joke. He said, Hunter thinks he's a four-man. What we haven't told him yet is our four-man plays under the basket. They are going to get so many dunks. This guy's going to be the dunk master. They're just going to throw the ball at the corner of the backboard. Aim for the corner. Hunter will grab it and dunk it. They're going to have a lot of two. I wonder what the KU dunk record is for a player. Truly wonder what that is. Probably Wilt Chamberlain. Well, they couldn't dunk then, could they? I don't think the dunk was allowed then. I don't know who it would be or how many it would be or even if they keep track of that sort of thing. And Hunter Dickinson can shoot now. He can go out and shoot threes and do all kinds of different stuff. So he's not just a rim guy. So it'll be interesting, but I think he's going to get a lot of dunks. I think it's pretty funny. Self's out there making jokes about it. He said, you know, he's not some kid we just recruited. He's like 20 years old. Yeah, Bill, you're off by 2 years. He's 22. I think you know he's 22. That's going to be one heck of a player for Kansas this year. Truly a heck of a player for the Kansas Jayhawks. I don't think there's any doubt about that in any way. All right, our final is going to be brought to you by Cross Kitchens KC, your family-owned and operated remodeling team. Kitchen remodeling, countertop replacement, floor refinishing. Any of those is perfect for Tim Cross and his team. They're great people. You're going to love meeting him. If you've got something you think you might want to do, you don't have to have decided by the time he shows up. He'll come to your house, take a look, say what he thinks. They'll draw the whole thing up, put it in a computerized 3D, and send it over to you and say, here's what it'll look like and here's what it costs. And if you got to wait a few months to do that or you don't know for sure, it's okay. There's never any pressure. CrossKitchensKC.com or call them at 816-898-7047. Amini's Galleria at 105th and Metcalf. Outdoor furniture. Boom. It's summertime. Let's do it. Or if you're thinking about football season, maybe a new pool table, shuffleboard, game table, golden tee, pinball in the man cave. Come on, T-Bone. I know you listen to this podcast. You're remodeling your man cave. Tim Cross is remodeling your entire man cave, which we thank you for calling one of our sponsors. It's a friend of mine. You better get you a golden tee machine in there, don't you think? You got to have some golden tee down there in the new man cave. Got to have it. From Amini's, 105th and Metcalf. And Buck Roofing and Construction online at buckroofing, rbuckroofing.com. That's rbuckroofing.com. Ron's the best. I talked to him over the weekend. We had a few laughs. He'll give you a free roof inspection. Just give him a call, and they'll come out and check your roof out for you. We've had a lot of rain here in the last couple of weeks. 913-384-2680. That's 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. All of our sponsors are at thekklist.com. Please go there to thekklist.com and support our sponsors any time you possibly can. Our final I mentioned involves Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its are my favorite snack. They're my favorite snack because somehow I've justified that they're somewhat healthier than nacho cheese Doritos or Lay's potato chips, which seem to be much greasier and whatever. I don't know that this is true, and it probably isn't. Carbs are my enemy, and Cheez-Its are nothing but carbs. But I love them. My dad loved them before me. We always had them around the house. My dad, for a snack, had a little pink bowl. A little pink bowl. And he was more portion control than me. He'd put a few in a little bowl and sit down with his sweet tea. I'd like it unsweet, but he liked sweet tea. And he'd be watching television or something with his little bowl of Cheez-Its and his sweet tea. And I, of course, love Cheez-Its, and I've always loved Cheez-Its. They were born in Kansas City, essentially, the Sunshine Biscuit Company, way back in the day in Kansas City. I believe it was on the Kansas side, Kansas City, Kansas, but I could be wrong. Kansas City, Kansas, where the plant was. And we kind of knew it as a local thing, the Sunshine Biscuit Company, and they made biscuits. Then they started making Cheez-It, which, of course, is the kind of name that you would have come up with, what, 75 years ago or whenever Cheez-It was born? Not exactly what you'd name something today. They have a completely ridiculous line of products now. Multiple different kinds of Cheez-Its. Now they have the Cheez-It Snapped. They got everything. This thing has just exploded into a brand like no other. They're owned by Kellogg, the cereal company now. And I think most Cheez-Its are made in Ohio. I'm not sure if they still make them here or not. I'm going to get emails on this, and I can't wait. If you know anything about Cheez-It history, or you have family members that worked at the Cheez-It factory or anything like that, I'd love to hear your stories. I love Cheez-Its. I just love them. I love them, and I love that they're kind of from here, even though they're not from here anymore, or whatever. Just fill me up with your emails on that. And let me know what you know about Cheez-It history. Cheez-It, for the next 2 months, has a pop-up store, a Cheez-It stop, on 29 Palm Highway near the Joshua Tree Forest in California. It is the old famous gas station you've seen with the big boy, the big cowboy out front, right in the middle of the desert where there's nothing around. I mean, there's nothing near this thing. I don't think they pump gas. I just think it's a pop-up Cheez-It store. It looks amazing. They've done the entire outside. Every product inside is Cheez-It related. They have Cheez-It snow globes. They have Cheez-It cactus. They have, of course, they sell every Cheez-It product in there. They have towels. They have shirts. They have hats. Everything is Cheez-It. Cheez-It, Cheez-It, Cheez-It at the Cheez-It stop in 29 Palms, California. I can't tell you how badly I'd like to go there. Could they bring the pop-up store somewhere on Route 66 near Kansas City? Like, where'd it go? It came through St. Louis, went down to Joplin, Springfield, Joplin, Tulsa. Is that Route 66? That sounds about right. Can you maybe do that? I don't think you're going to put it on I-70. That doesn't seem right. needs to be something more historic. And the theme here is Cheez-It is old and this gas station is old. Where the Cheez-It stop has been built, it's really cool. It's right out of a movie. And I've taken Route 66. And so I've seen these along the way. We need to find one somewhere near here on Route 66 and see if the Cheez-It people will do the Cheez-It stop there. And I will gladly drive there. I'll go do there and do a podcast on the Cheez-It store. I love Cheez-It so much. I want to see all the things they have in the Cheez-It stop. I assume they sell bottled water and some sodas too. I didn't see that when looking through it, but if you're going to be selling all those Cheez-Its and it is a stop on a highway, I mean, can you imagine, like, would the toilets be Cheez-It themed? Is, like, the handle of the toilet a Cheez-It? I don't know. They sell the whole store is nothing but Cheez-It. It looks great. Very cool stuff. As always, thank you so much for listening to KKHI. Please hit the like, follow, or subscribe button if you could. We got a couple more patrons this week have signed up already. Thank you very much to the new patrons. We'd love to have you on as a patron. If you go to kksissues.com, it takes less than 5 minutes to sign up. You'll get the patron podcast right into your email. You can click and play it right from your email, and you get the patron post that I write every weekend directly into your email. Comes right into your email box. Nothing's easier. If you'd like to become a patron, we'd love to have you on board. Just go to kksissues.com on either your computer or your laptop or your tablet. It's easier than your phone. It just is. Trust me on that one. We'd love to have you. Again, the website kksissues.com, and feel free anywhere you go to tell even a stranger that you think Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.